Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am here with Suzette, Dr. Don, Larry, Michael Mibayo, and Rick, and we are about ready to have our study entitled The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. We are glad that you are here with us on this June 10, 2017. And I want to first do a little housekeeping, call your attention to our chat room. You can chat in if you'd like, ask any questions or make comments. I have also posted there our WordPress website, which is located at spiritoftruthministry.net. And you can go there to read our book, The Spirit of the Church. You can also go there to read all sorts of writing by Rick Sterling, including several really good papers, including The Grand Plan. By the way, Rick, would you do me a favor? Would you get out that one comment that we had? I want you to read it again in just a minute. We did it yesterday, but there might be some people who are listening today that didn't hear it, and it's worth listening to. So the second website that is linked on our chat room is the original website. This is, hang on, that's not the one I wanted. I need to go to a different place. Here we go. This will lead you to our original website that has writings by other people other than Rick, has some historical data. It has a little sidebar where I tell the story about how our book got to be published. And there's all sorts of interesting material there, including one of our songs Becky and I did many, many years ago at the back end of that. So you can go there for all sorts of good reading. I encourage you to especially go to our WordPress website and link up with us via the RSS feed. This will allow you to gain access to brand new material when it comes online. Today, as of now, we have 13,826 people who have decided that they want to join us, at least insofar as getting new information is concerned. We are delighted with that. So let's have prayer, and we will get started with our study. Father in heaven, grant us a peaceful day today as we go through and learn the meanings of the word that Jesus Christ brought to earth from you. Please allow the Holy Spirit to translate those words for us so that we know their true meaning. And I pray, Father, that as we listen and learn and as we talk more about prophecy and prophets, that you will open our mind to the truth. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Suzette.
Good morning, and welcome, Don and Lynn. We're glad you're with our study today.
And good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning.
And good morning, Larry and Michael.
Morning.
That was Michael, sitting way back over there in the cheap seats.
Larry's deep in thought. And welcome, everyone. As always, it is an honor that you spend your valuable time to listen, to contemplate, and hopefully to do research on the subjects that we cover here. I'm going to read this comment that Dennis asked me to. I read it yesterday. And it really, these kind of comments help me.
Well, they help all of us go a long way to show and to confirm what we're doing.
Here is what this person said. Can I just say what a relief to find someone who actually knows what they're talking about on the internet? You definitely know how to bring an issue to light and make it important. More people need to read this and understand this side of the story. I can't believe you're not more popular, because you definitely have the gift. And this comment, this person wrote after reading the article, The Reason. The reason, when I wrote that, I was really down. I had doubts. You could say I was discouraged. I was everything but defeated. And something, I don't know, something I watched, I think it was, that flipped a switch inside me, and I knew the reason why I was persistent, why I continued to hold firm to that which I had come to understand. And even though it didn't seem like many people were interested at all in what I was doing, I wasn't doing it for any kind of recognition. The only reason I was doing it was for Elohim, because Elohim needed a voice in this world, and there are many voices claiming to be speaking on his behalf, in his defense, and upholding him. But they're all lies. And they do nothing more than to defeat his purpose. Elohim needed a voice. And so I'm not doing this for me or for anything or anyone else. I'm doing this for God. And I hope that God finds what I am doing pleasing him and to them, Elohim. I am working on another article, an article on the fundamental element of the article is the true prophet. But there's many contributing elements to prophet and to what makes a true prophet. And what I mean by a true prophet is a prophet that tells the truth because his root is in the truth, and of course, God is the truth.
That quote you read, just as a note of interest before I forget, in case it's of interest, do you have any way of telling the location of that person that made that comment, sometimes by the email address?
I think in the United States. I think it was someone in the United States.
Yes.
Although we get comments from around the world.
And we've been getting quite a lot of comments that have been translated from Russian or Russian, Estonia and other places like that. That not in so many words and not with great translational,
We get things, as Dennis says, from all around the world, Western Europe, Eastern Europe, Asia, Australia,
right.
Yes, New Zealand, China, you name it. We've had comments, good comments. In fact, I have not read a negative comment. Now, I don't know, there might be some that Dennis doesn't forward to me, but I have not read a negative comment.
I don't forward to you the ones that lead into advertisements.
Right.
We get a lot of those.
Yeah.
You know, they say, you know, I have a great website. Come and look at mine. That sort of thing.
We had one too, Dennis. You were going to, when you had the chance, kind of take a look at, but we got an email from someone who worked at Paperclip magazine. Mm. And they said they'd read the book and had liked the book to promote the book.
Well, they wanted us to pay them to promote the book. And again, it was a
I have no idea. It is a
kind of like a Facebook for writers. You know, they are trying
e-magazine.
It's an e-magazine, and they're trying to get writers to come on board and pay them to advertise so that they can make money.
Well, everybody's in it to make money, except for Spirit of Truth Ministry. We don't make any money. But of course, as long as we keep doing what we're doing, and I can cover most of the expenses involved with the internet and so on like that. We've read about a woman who called herself a prophetess. A prophetess is just a female prophet. And how do you tell the true prophet? And like I said, a true prophet is one that tells the truth. Mm-hmm. And one that tells the truth is working for God, because God is the truth.
Well, I was about to say this is a perspective issue, because the truth according to whom? And by the way, that is why Spirit of Truth Ministry is here. Because we are defining the truth. We are defining who it is that is speaking the truth in this world.
You curse with any person who claims a belief, to hold a belief in God, and you ask them about the truth, they will 100% of the time tell you that they have the truth. At least from my unofficial survey, the ones that I have talked to say that they believe and practice and worship the truth as they know it. Well, how do you know it's true?
Mm-hmm.
I asked them.
Yeah.
Well, we just have to have faith.
We simply have to believe. And this is brought out in a great movie, Miracle on 34th Street. There's an old version and a more modern version. And in the modern version, it's all about Santa Claus and do you believe in Santa Claus? And they have these pins, I believe. Okay, and all of New York City has now, you know, was at the end of this movie, was wearing these pins, including two people who were working for the bad guy. I believe in Santa Claus. There are a lot of people who use that same level of faith to believe in whatever it is that they believe in as far as spirituality is concerned.
Yes, thank you, Suzette. There's something that really struck home to me as I was working on my next article for publication on WordPress on the True Prophet. And I have talked about this before, but I think that now it is even clearer to me than it was before. And I was talking about what is it that we need to know in order to enter the kingdom of Elohim. And when I say Elohim, and I say Elohim because if I said kingdom of the gods, capital G, you would go, wait a minute. So I say Elohim, which is God, plural, which is what God is called in the Bible, is Elohim. The naysayers and those who want to expose the fallacies that Christians are holding to will say that Christians believe in one God. God the Father is God of all. But yet in the Bible, the word for God is plural. And there's been a recent discovery within the last, well, I think it's like 10 years ago, 9 years ago, but they've been suppressed by, of course, the powers that be. That those who discovered them are trying to get them out, but the powers that be are trying to keep them suppressed. Many are saying they're fraud, forgeries, copies, whatever. But they were found in Jordan. They're called the codices, the lead. They're written on lead tablets. But there's believable evidence that they are from the first and second century. They talk about Jesus. In fact, there is an engraved picture of a man which they believe strongly to be an image of Jesus. But a lot of evangelical Christians are certain that they are fraudulent because they say that God is both male and female. Well, I've been saying that for a long time. And I've proven it for a long time. God is not androgynous. God the Father is masculine. God the Holy Spirit is feminine. And just as Eve was taken from Adam, started out as his rib, and God fashioned from Adam's rib a woman, because Adam called her that because she was taken out of man. So also did God, when God was going to create the universe, God wanted help, but there was no helper to be found. God was all alone. And so what did God do? He took a part of his own spirit and separated it from himself, just as he took the rib from Adam and separated it from Adam and made the woman. But Adam acknowledged and stated unequivocally that because she was flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, they were one. And so too, when the spirit that God separated from himself, and this spirit was indeed holy because she was separated from the Father, who is holy, is a holy spirit. And the Father had a helper, and the man had a helper. The Son came about The sun was not created. The sun was not conceived. The sun was as much of the spirit of Elohim, the two gods, capital G, as was the Holy Spirit. And what does the sun say about himself? He said, the Father and I are one. One in the same spirit. The same spirit because he was from the same spirit. So the three are one because they all proceeded from the same spirit that is God. The truth. Pilate actually makes a clear statement posed as a rhetorical question when the Son of God said, for this reason I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. And those who are of the truth hear my voice.
I like to think that that way that is presented, it could easily be said already of the truth.
Well, yeah, but you can't already be of the truth because no one is born with the truth. You have to learn the truth and you have to go to the source.
And I agree with that. What I'm saying is they have to be already open to it.
They can't have already confirmed antagonistic within their own hearts and minds that they have the truth. Because if someone finds themselves in a condition where they believe they know all they need to know and it is the truth, then they will reject every element of truth that they come in contact with. Because what everyone knows right now is a lie. They all practice lies. And you can say whatever you want about me, but when we start out in this world, we are taught lies about God. And I don't care what religion, what practice, I don't care who you believe in as a spiritual being or a spiritual guide or a spiritual counselor or what. When we start out in this world, what we are taught about God or about a divine being or a spiritual being is a lie. And I'm sorry, but that's the truth. God, Elohim, led their promised people, the people of the promise, out of darkness, the land of Egypt, into the wilderness. All these people knew about God was a lie. It's what they had been taught. It's what they had practiced. It is what they believed. And it was all a lie. They needed to know the truth, but they did not have any source that they could go to for the standard of truth, to learn the truth. In the wilderness, Elohim came down on the Mount of God, Mount Horeb. And there, God gave Moses the standard of truth. And this standard remains the standard to this day. It has not been superseded by another standard. It has not been done away with. It has not been set aside. It has not been overturned. And it has not been made inconsequential and useless. It is not antiquated. It is as real and as valid today as it was when it was given to Moses on Mount Horeb. No matter what the devil says through his well-loved apostles and prophets, whatever they have to say about the law and how it can never save, how it can never make righteous, how the death of Christ freed us from compliance with the law. They will never overturn the law of God. The law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That is it. That is all that one needs to enter the kingdom of God. You must learn the law to do the sacrificial practices, because all that the sacrificial practices were designed to do was to teach people about how one would proceed from a state of corruption and sin to a state of purity and righteousness, period. That is all.
Visual aid.
That is all. We do not need to sacrifice a lamb or a dove or a pigeon or a bull or a goat. We do not need to sacrifice any animal in order to comply with the law. We only need to understand what that meant. And very simply, what the law is trying to convey to the people who are on their way to the kingdom of God, the promised land, is this. You must participate in the cleansing process. You must be cleansed of all sin. And when that has happened, and when that is complete, you are righteous. When you have no sin in you, you are righteous. That is what God has gone over and over, over and over and over again through all the prophets. The prophets weren't bringing new information. Prophets weren't making the conditions for salvation easier or more acceptable or more amenable. Prophets continually pointed out that the people were ignoring the law. They were ignorant of its requirements. And they refused to participate in the cleansing, sanctification process, that they could watch the demonstration of how it worked taking place in the sanctuary services and the feast participations year after year after year. And to all the people, the sacrificial system and the offering system were required elements required by their God, which had no real root in reality any more than any of the practices of the pagan nations around. So the prophets were pleading with the people to change their hearts and minds, their attitude toward the law, to learn the law, and to be in complete compliance with the law. So the prophets give us nothing new. The prophets just reiterate the requirements of the law. Most of the people refused to listen. God said their foreheads were iron and their necks like bronze.
He called them a stiff-necked people.
Necked.
And by the way, if you have a stiff neck, you can't turn your head.
You cannot turn your head.
I'll just point out now, and then I'll let you continue. Not like I need to let you continue, but I think you said something that was key to the thoughts that were going through my mind in evaluating and whether to say anything or just after the show further discuss it. But you pointed out that the law, I mean, the prophets brought nothing new to what the law had already said and provided. And I've been thinking about how I would relate to that concept, because it seems like the law did not do what it needed to do when it was desired to have that done. And the testimony of Jesus was added to the law.
Which is what I'm coming to.
But like you said, and I have been expecting you to further explain, is that, but I wanted to emphasize this point now, that
please
the
do.
Law provided everything that was needed, other than humanity seemed to need further demonstration and explanation, which the testimony of Jesus later provided. And that's the basis on which we have come to our understanding.
Mankind,
the combination of both,
wants something different, something easier, because they see the law as impossible. The law is not impossible. That's only what we've been taught, that the law is impossible. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 19, this comes straight from the vocal cords of the Son of God. He said this to his disciples. Matthew wrote it down, and it could not be stated any clearer. Do not imagine that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to complete them. Now, for those who would say, he completed them for us because we can't complete them ourselves, you must read on. This is like John 3:16. You can read that and you can have all kinds of ideas about it, particularly salvation through believing. But if you would go on down to 19 through 21, you would read something about the judgment, what would make John 3:16 seem like a contradiction. And if you take it out of context, it is. If you leave it in the context, it is not. Well, we go on reading here because he didn't stop. I tell you solemnly. When he says that, it is as if he is swearing. He's not. He's saying that what I am going to say, you must hear. You can't have your mind somewhere else. You must know. What I am saying is of utmost importance. I tell you solemnly, till heaven and earth disappear. Not one dot, not one little stroke shall disappear from the law until its purpose is achieved. And I say, look around you, my friends. Are earth and heaven still here? So I would say that as long as earth and heaven, the two witnesses that he calls in to testify to, earth and heaven, he uses earth and heaven as two witnesses all the time, that the law will never change and its purpose will never be set aside or replaced by something else. And yet, Christians of all faiths believe that grace has replaced the law. So then the Son of God is a liar. Or is he? How can a pastor stand up in front and tell one blasphemous lie after another? That's why I can't hardly even go to church anymore. Because it sickens me, literally sickens me, when I hear pastors up front talking about the loving grace of God that has freed us from the law. Therefore, verse 19, the man who infringes even one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same. You know, God is really going easy here. He'll be considered the least in the kingdom of the heavens. But the man who keeps them and teaches them will be considered great in the kingdom of the heavens. God has been waiting for a very, very, very long time for someone to wake up to the fact that the law that he gave to his servant Moses needs to be learned and put into practice. We need to learn what the law says so that we can live in compliance with the law. There are parts in the law that were designed specifically for the nation of God, the kingdom of God, living here on earth in the promised land. But the core requirements of law can basically be boiled down to the covenant, the testimony, as it is referred to. The testimony. Testimony testifies to this fact that if you are in 100% compliance with it, then you are in the kingdom of Elohim. So when you keep the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments, you are in 100% compliance with the law. That's it. You don't need to go and scrutinize every little element and say, well, what did he say about this? Or what does he say about that? Or what can I touch someone who's pregnant or on her menstruation? Do I have to go through a cleansing process? What the Son of God made clear is that all of these extra things over and above the Ten Commandments were given because of the increase in sin. It's kind of like God is explaining, you know, people are wondering, well, what about this or what about that? So God is saying, okay, if you, this is what you want to know, this is what I'm going to tell you. But here is the bottom line. There are two things that we need in order to enter the kingdom of Elohim. That is, we need to promise to keep the Ten Commandments and keep them. And we need to know the testimony of the Son of God. We need to know it and we need to follow it. We need to participate in everything that he said we need to do. When we do that, we have met all the requirements for eternal life. We have met all the requirements to enter the kingdom of Elohim. And when Elohim has people in his kingdom here on earth, he can begin the end. He must have a kingdom on earth before he can do anything about defeating the kingdom of the world. The messages to the assemblies in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 reinforce this. This is not hard, difficult, or impossible, but it certainly is not popular or accepted. But I'll tell you that those who prove victorious, and as some translations say, overcome, as did the king of the kingdom of Elohim, the Son of God, those who do the same that he did. And what did he do? He came to complete the law and testify to the truth. He was in 100% compliance with the law. And he testified in front of tens of thousands the message that his father gave him, which is the truth.
The word overcome is an interesting word because it implies two different stages. You can be an overcomee. That is, you can be overcome by something. Or you can be an overcomer and be whoever it is that overcomes whatever that situation is. I've had cancer several times. I have never seen myself as an overcomee. Cancer survivor. I have always looked at myself as an overcomer, a victor over cancer. And this doesn't mean that you have to live through that. It's your attitude as you are going through it. Jesus wants us to be overcomers. And when we do that, we acknowledge that the Holy Spirit actually can work in our lives instead of saying it's impossible for the Holy Spirit to help me become an overcomer. This is what the Christian church wants you to believe today, that there is no possible way that you can overcome anything, that you are simply an overcomee. But that is not what Jesus taught.
And I want to say this, and I say this humbly. I say this humbly. Where do you think I went to learn what I'm sharing with you and have been sharing over the last almost 24 years? What institution of higher learning did I go to learn this? When the commenters on the WordPress say that this is so simple to understand. Why hasn't somebody seen this before? Why haven't they noted this before? This is making sense. You're making sense of something no one has been able to make sense for hundreds of years. How was I able to do that? Where did I go to learn this? I went to the Holy Spirit. And I listened to the Holy Spirit. And people go, oh, so you're saying the Spirit is talking to you. Yeah, I've met a lot of people like you. They say the Spirit talks to them all the time.
Yes, and they need to be on lithium.
I want to say this and make this clear. There is only a couple of times where I can say with certainty that I actually heard something, not with my ears, in my subconscious. I heard very clearly and very distinctly, only a couple of times. I have seen two or three scenes that I know for certain were given to me. I don't talk about them a lot because that's not what this is about. But what I'm saying right now is that I am not someone more special than anyone else. I'll tell you, make someone special to God is if they will listen. If they will listen. Because if you will listen and you say, God, I am listening, help me to know and understand what you want me to know and understand, and be willing to overturn everything you believe in. Except God. Overturn everything you believe in. Start afresh, as the Son of God said, become as a little child. A little child has no preconceived notions or convictions. They are ready to learn, and that's what we must be. Because the Holy Spirit will work with all willing students. Willing and ready to learn, the Holy Spirit will work just as your mother wanted to teach you what you needed to know to live and interact in the world. So your spiritual mother will take you on her lap, so to speak, and hold you and will tell you the things that you long to hear and the things that you long to know about. In Revelation, there is a short chapter that I find comfort in and confidence, and that's chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15, starting with verse 1. What I saw next in heaven was a great and wonderful sign. Seven angels were bringing the seven plagues that are the last of all, because they exhaust the anger. Seemed to see a glass lake suffused with fire, and standing by the lake of glass, those who had fought against the beast and won. And against the statue and the number, which is his name, they all had harps from God, and they were singing the hymn of Moses, the servant of God and of the Lamb. Do you notice something interesting here? Moses was what? The first. And to Moses was given the law. And the Lamb was what? The last. And to him was given the testimony, the law, and the prophets. The commandments and the testimony of the Son of God. How great and wonderful are all your works, Lord God Almighty. True are all your ways, King of nations. Who would not revere and praise your name, O Lord? You alone are holy, and all the pagans will come and adore you for the many acts of justice you have done, have shown. After this, in my vision, the sanctuary, the tent of the testimony, that is, by the way, the Ten Commandments, the most holy place, opened in heaven, and out came the seven angels with the seven plagues, wearing pure white linen, fastened round their waists with golden girdles. One of the four animals gave the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the anger of God, who lives forever and ever. The smoke from the glory and the power of God filled the temple so that no one could go into it until the seven plagues of seven angels were completed. Mm-hmm. And there is a hymn. A hymn which they, the righteous, may sing. If you turn to Psalms 86. Come to me, Yahweh, and answer me, poor and needy as I am. Keep my soul. I am your devoted one. Save your servant who relies on you. You are my God. Take pity on me, Lord. I invoke you all day long. Give your servant reason to rejoice, for to you, Lord, I lift up my soul. Now turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32, starting with verse 1. Listen, heavens, while I speak, earth, hear the words that I am saying. May my teaching fall like rain. May my word drop down like the dew, like showers on fresh grass and light rain on the turf. For I proclaim the name of Yahweh. Oh, tell the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are equity. A God faithful, without unfairness. Uprightness itself in justice. They have acted perversely, those he begot without blemish, a deceitful and underhand brood. Is this the return you make to Yahweh, O foolish, unwise people? Is not this your father who gave you being, who made you, by whom you subsist? Think back on the days of old. Think over the years, down the ages. Ask of your father. Let him teach you. Of your elders, let them enlighten you. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he divided the sons of men, he fixed their bounds according to the number of the sons of God. But Yahweh's portion was his people. Jacob, his share of inheritance. In the wasteland, he adopts them. In the howling desert of the wilderness, he protects them, rears them, guards them as the pupil of his eye. Like an eagle watching its nest, hovering over its young, he spreads out his wings to hold him. He supports him on his pinions. Yahweh alone is his pride. With him is no alien God. He gives him the heights of the land to ride. He feeds him on the yield of the mountains. He gives him honey from the rock to taste and oil from the flinty crag. Herds from the cattle, milk from the flock, with rich food of the pastures, rams of Bashan's breed and goats, rich food of the wheat's ear and blood of the fermenting grape. Verse 43. Heavens, rejoice with him. Let the sons of God pay him homage. Nations, rejoice with his people. Let God's envoys tell his power, for he will avenge the blood of his servants when he gives his foes as good again. He will repay them who hate him by the land of his people.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you all for being here today. We are going to continue studying next week on both Friday and on Saturday with another edition of the Bible on Trial on Friday at 10 a.m. and another edition of the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling on Saturday, Sabbath, at 10 a.m. Pacific time. We encourage you to go to websites located at spiritoftruthministry.net and spiritoftruthministry.net/SM. So, on behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis Neufeld wishing you all a wonderful day, and we will see you all next week. So long for now.